Hasse nicht sein. Hasse nicht sein, dass du nur für andere Sachen Geld ausgibst, was gar nicht wirklich wert sind. Aber Radio Lora, du kannst doch schnell die Lücke machen.
Welcome to another episode of Arab Voices, coming to you from the studios of KPFT Houston since 2002. Houston's community station, 90.1 FM and FM HD1. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. This show is syndicated and it airs on other radio stations in different cities in the US and Europe. In this episode of Arab Voices, episode number 1056, we will talk about the occupied city of Jerusalem, the significance of Jerusalem and Al-Aqsa Mosque, the ongoing and escalated Israeli brutal attacks on Palestinians in Jerusalem and other areas, the discrimination and measures imposed by apartheid Israel on Palestinians, forced expulsion of Palestinians from their homes in Jerusalem, home demolitions, Israeli colonies and colonizers' horrific acts against Palestinians, and the ongoing ethnic cleansing of Palestine. I will discuss all of that and more with Zakaria Auda, who is joining us via phone from occupied Jerusalem in Palestine. Zakaria Auda is a human rights activist and executive director for the Civil Coalition for Palestinian Rights in Jerusalem. Zakaria, welcome to Arab Voices.
Thank you, and good morning or good afternoon, depends on the time for you and all the listeners.
It's good to have you again on the show. We are pleased that you are joining us. Could you start first by telling our listeners about your organization, Civil Coalition for Palestinian Rights in Jerusalem, and the work it does?
In fact, our organization is a coalition of several human rights organizations. Nearly we are around 17 human rights organizations, which was established in 2005. The main issue or the main task that the coalition is doing, one, we monitor the Israeli plans, Israeli policies and laws that are implemented in occupied Jerusalem. Then we do awareness raising for our communities in different neighborhoods of occupied Jerusalem about all these plans and all these laws and policies. The second thing we do is we provide legal aid. We provide legal aid to the communities to help them to challenge the Israeli plans, the Israeli laws in Jerusalem. And the third thing we do is international legal advocacy. So we work a lot with the United Nations mechanisms. We work with the EU, with the state, with the parliaments in different countries and with the diplomatic missions here in Palestine.
Could you tell us very briefly, maybe just a summary of the status of Jerusalem?
Okay, historically in brief, Jerusalem, like the rest of Palestine, between 1915 and 1917, it was under the the Ottoman rule. And then between 1917 until 1948, it was under the British mandate. Then Jerusalem was occupied after the establishment of the State of Israel in 1947, when according to the partition plan, it was decided that Jerusalem should be united under international spectrum, under international umbrella, open to everybody, all different peoples, different religions. But after 1948, when Israel was established in 1948, Jerusalem was divided and nearly most of Jerusalem was divided. Most of Jerusalem was under the Israeli state, which was established in 1948, and East Jerusalem with the West Bank was under the Jordanian rule. That continued from 1948 until 1967. In 1967, as we know, Israel occupied the West Bank, Gaza Strip, Sinai, and part the Golan Heights, part of Syria. So after they occupied the West Bank, including Jerusalem, is one of the things that Israel done after occupying what is called East Jerusalem. They expand the border of the city of Jerusalem. It was 5.5 square kilometers. It became 71 square kilometers, where they annexed areas surrounding the city of Jerusalem from the West Bank. And they took two decisions where what they did, they annexed East Jerusalem. Yani they expanded the mandate of the municipality of West Jerusalem to East Jerusalem, and they expanded the border, and they put East Jerusalem under the Israeli jurisdiction, under the Israeli law. And this is what is the difference between occupied Jerusalem and the rest of the West Bank and Gaza. The West Bank and Gaza has been since 1967 under the military rule, but East Jerusalem, since it was occupied in the 5th of June 1967, it has been under the Israeli civil law. And since then, Israel has been implementing various policies, whether confiscating land, building settlements, building the wall, closing Jerusalem by the military checkpoint, implementing the residency, Israeli residency law, all these laws which have been implemented based on the idea that Israel considered occupied East Jerusalem as part of the state of Israel. It's part of the United Capital of the State of Israel. And they don't acknowledge till now that East Jerusalem is an occupied city and it is subjected or should be under the protection of the international law. In spite of all the international community, except until even the American administration, until Trump administration, who declared that Jerusalem is the capital of the state of Israel, and he moved the embassy to East Jerusalem. So all the international community, they consider East Jerusalem as an occupied city, and it's part of the occupied territories. So this is the, you know, of course, the annexation was initiated as well by a resolution by the Israeli Knesset, which is considered like a parliament. In 1980, there was a resolution or a decision where they declared that East and West Jerusalem is the capital of the state of Israel. So this is the legal status that the Israeli occupation has established in occupied East Jerusalem.
The population, the Palestinian population in Jerusalem, what is that? Is it about 350,000 in East Jerusalem?
You know, it's very important to mention that all during the, we're talking about more than 55 years of Israeli occupation in 1967. And even this, they have been really implementing what we call it, the demographic, they call it the demographic balance or the demographic policy, which we call it the demographic domination. That always in their mind, the Israeli leaders, the Israeli party, the government, the different institutions, whether the municipality of Jerusalem, the planning committees, is always in their mind that there should be a majority of Jewish Israelis in the city, all Jerusalem, vis-a-vis a small minority. So with regard to your question, and with regard to this demographic strategy that Israel has put since 67, and it's continued till now, that they took at the beginning in 1973, they established a committee, they call it Gafna Committee. It's a ministerial committee where they gave recommendation about the demographic balance. And at that time, their recommendation that Palestinian Arab should not be more than 17 to 20% of all the population in all Jerusalem. But then in the Israeli master plan, or the master plan, we call it 2020, they talk about 30% Arab, Palestinian Arabs, and 70% Israeli Jew. But now if you ask me how many the Arab Palestinians who are holding Israeli ID or residency, we are nearly 41% of all the population of all Jerusalem. That includes East and West. And nearly there are 365,000 Palestinian Arab who are residents of Jerusalem. You know, because maybe you know that we are residents after Israel, they occupied East Jerusalem. They decide, okay, what legal status should we give these people who are living in Jerusalem, the city which we annexed and we consider it part of the state of Israel? Then they decided that we are a permanent residence. We are not a citizen. So what we have is a residency. And soon after they occupied, I mean, within 3-4 months, they did a census. They counted everybody here. And you know, when the war of 67 took place and they occupied East Jerusalem, at least nearly 40,000 Palestinians were outside. I mean, they were working whether in Arab countries like Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, in Europe, in America. So these 40,000 Palestinian Jerusalemites were deprived from the right to be residents of the city of Jerusalem. And they were not allowed to return back to live in Jerusalem, to have the right to live in Jerusalem. So this is like the demographic issue or the demographic population or balance that's now in occupied or in all Jerusalem, and including all occupied Jerusalem.
And there was something I read one time about urban planning that the Zionist state of Israel has in place to control, you know, basically the eastern part of Jerusalem, just like you mentioned. Is that the same, that urban planning that Israel sometimes talks about?
Yes. One of the main policies Israel has been established, implementing, is the what we call it discriminatory urban planning policy. You know, which always in their plans, they have in their mind one main issue, is how to control more land and how to increase the number of settlers and settlements in occupied East Jerusalem, and how to reduce the number of the Palestinians. So one of the main themes of the plan that Israel tried to put, or they designed, or they drafted for Jerusalem, and especially for East Jerusalem, and all Jerusalem, is this issue is one of the most important goal that they are trying to achieve. So with this Israeli planning policy and all the plans, one of the main concern is how to control more land, how to increase the number of settlements. It's very important to mention that now Israel is controlling and using 87% of all the land of the East Jerusalem, the part which was occupied in 1967. They are controlling and using, and only 13% of this East Jerusalem, of the land of East Jerusalem, is left for the use of the Palestinian Arabs, where there are the Palestinians are living in. So you can imagine how only this small number or a small percent of land that is left for us as to use. And of course, they used most of the land. They used it for building settlements. You know, today there are 16 settlements in the city in East Jerusalem. Nearly 230,000 Jewish settlers, they live in East Jerusalem, the part which was occupied in 1967. Yani they are nearly 50% of all the population in East Jerusalem only. So part of controlling the land is really one of the main mechanism is the Israeli urban planning system.
And the expansion of those colonies is ongoing. Just like you explained before, it is part of their greater plan, continue to take Palestinian land, and then connect, when they connect those colonies together, then they have to take more Palestinian lands, then they need to secure the roads between those settlers, those settlements, and then they need to take and steal more Palestinian lands. It is truly an ongoing, systematic process to take full control of Jerusalem and expel.
Yes, if you allow me a little bit to elaborate on that. That, you know, the main strategy for them is with the building these colonies or settlements is to surround the city of Jerusalem from the south and the east and the north, to surround it with settlements to separate the city of Jerusalem from its extension of the West Bank. And from the south, they are separating the city of Jerusalem from Bethlehem, from Hebron, from the east, from Jericho, Jordan Valley, and from the north, they are separating the city from Ramallah and the north of the West Bank, and as well to expand the settlement within the neighbor. You know the strategy that they are, these settlements are separating the Palestinian Arab neighborhoods from each other. They are trying to create a chain of settlement, building settlements, infrastructure like tunnels, roads, bypass roads to connect the settlements with West Jerusalem and with 1948 area, which is called Israel, which occupied in 1948. I mean, they are using all different laws in order to control the land, in order to expand the settlement. You know, one of the main laws they use is the absentee property law, which I think people or you are aware of it. This law, which was put in 1950, where most of the land of Palestine in 1948, after the Israeli state was established, it was controlled because people were forced to leave their cities, Palestinian Arabs, their cities, their villages, and they consider absent. And if you are not in your city or you are in your village, you are absent. Then the Israeli government take over your land and or even all your property. And this law has been implemented after 1967 as well in occupied East Jerusalem, where if somebody lives in Bethlehem or Ramallah or any city in the West Bank, and he or she, they have a property in East Jerusalem, whether a house or a land, they consider absent. I mean, can you imagine? It's not necessary that you should be outside Palestine, like in Arab countries, in Europe or in the U.S., wherever you are, if you are not residents of the city of Jerusalem, your property will consider owned by the Israeli land authority, by the Israeli government. I mean, this is really one of the main laws that they are using to control land. The other one is the Israeli planning and zoning land. You know, according to the Israeli law, that they take 40% of the land. If you are trying to get a building permit, for example, or to do a plan for your land, they take 40% of the land for what they call it, for public use, for the government use. 40% of your land, it's taken by the municipality of Jerusalem to use it for public used. Another law, they call it, you know, there are some areas which are classified as a green area. As a green, which means that it should be park, forest, and things like that. Can you imagine nearly 22% of the land of East Jerusalem is classified as a green area? Why? There is a scarcity of land, there is a shortage of housing, there is a scarcity of housing for the Palestinians, but they classify 22% of the land as a green area, which you can't build, you can't use it as an individual, as a resident of Jerusalem. It's for the use of the municipality and the government of Israel.
It is part of the ongoing ethnic cleansing of Palestine. Also, they do not approve, nor do they give permits to Palestinians to build on their own properties in East Jerusalem.
Yes. This is, you know, in spite of, you know, one of the main problem or challenge is that there is a shortage of land. You know, most of the land is taken or confiscated, which is stolen really on the right term, to use it for building settlements. So there is a shortage of housing. And, you know, there is as well, there are a lot of restrictions by the municipality of Jerusalem, which is an Israeli Jewish municipality, to build or to obtain a building permit. Obtaining a building permit in occupied East Jerusalem is very complicated. It's very problematic. It takes a long time. It costs a lot of money as well to get a permit. You know, I mean, it's important just to mention, to get a permit, for example, to build a house or apartment which is only 100 square meter, do you know how much the family they have to pay? Average around $40,000 just for processing the permit for the license, just in order to build. And even a lot of people, most of the people are denied the right of getting a permit. Can you imagine how much the cost of just obtaining the building permit, which is around nearly $40,000-$45,000. So this is part the restriction on obtaining building permit. The shortage of land, it pushed the people, they have no choice but to build without a permit. Because they don't get permits, the municipality don't provide them with permits to build houses. They don't provide us as Palestinians with housing as well. While the settlers, they built for them, they allowed them to build all the time. They are expanding the settlement. Every day there are housing units in the settlement that are built every day. They never stop building settlement. Why for us as Palestinians, always there is these restrictions? Because of that, many people really, they are built without a permit. You know, it's very important to mention that there are nearly 22 to 23,000 home or apartment in East Jerusalem for the Palestinians that were built without a permit. You know, what does that mean? If you built without a permit, the home must be demolished. That's why the Israelis, every day, they demolish homes because they don't provide us as Palestinians with building permit. And if you build without a permit, you lose your house, they demolish it. So every year, and you know, during the last few years, since Trump administration has encouraged the Israelis to escalate and to increase all these policies with our building settlement, expanding settlement, increasing land control, land confiscation, or demolishing homes as well. And just to mention, last year, 185 houses was demolished. The year before, 2021, 174. The year before, in 2020, nearly 168 homes or structure were demolished. And the number that has been really going on, the number of demolition has been increasing badly every year, year after year. And you know, this is part of all these policies with our land control, Israeli discrimination, discriminatory planning policy, building settlement, restriction on building, home demolition, is part of the Israeli main policy of forced displacement and ethnic cleansing in order to reduce the number of the Palestinians based on the main strategy and main goal, where they always try to create a Jewish majority in the city of Jerusalem, vis-a-vis a small minority of Palestinians.
I've read some statistics that they have built more than 60,000 homes for Israelis only on stolen Palestinian lands in East Jerusalem, while only some 600 Palestinian residents were able to build homes in East Jerusalem. It's like 60,000 comparing to 600. And if you could tell us more about the home demolitions, because one part that Israel, or one policy that Israel has now, as I understand it, is that with all these home demolitions that you mentioned, and there are so many of them on daily basis, Israel, when they come to demolish a Palestinian home, they're like, they might give them an hour or two if they are lucky, but they will charge them an arm and a leg, the cost of demolishing their home. They will force them to pay that, or they will force the Palestinians and ask them to demolish their own homes with their own hands or whatever tools they have. Could you talk about that astonishing policy?
Yes, yes. As we said, that the demolition has been increasing. because under the pretext of that, you don't have a license or you don't have a permit. Yani at the same time that they don't provide, the municipality of Jerusalem, they don't provide permits for the Palestinian, and it's very complicated. It takes a long time. It costs a lot of money. You know, they put a lot of requirements. Like, you know, you have to prove, you have to have a certificate that the land ownership is in your name. And you know how it is in Palestine, whether during the Ottoman, then the British, then the Jordanian, there was no land, individual land registration. It's mainly in the name of the family. So that's make it, you know, they put conditions to make it more difficult for the people to obtain a building permit. And you know, since 1967, there has been in Jerusalem, there has been no land settlement or land registration. So Israel, they froze any land registration, any land settlement or property settlement in occupied East Jerusalem. And that's helped them to confiscate as much land as possible. And that's make it difficult for us to obtain a building permit. You know, until 2019, the Israeli Minister of Justice, she was Shakid. Her name was Shakid. She declared that we are going to start land settlement and property settlement in occupied East Jerusalem. And she said land settlement in East Jerusalem is one part of promoting sovereignty over East Jerusalem. It was clear. It's a political decision. So, and one of the main dangers of this land settlement and land and property registration is that it will give them an excuse to implement what we call it absentee property law. Like if you apply for you register your land, okay, we are 5 or 6 members, for example, 2 members of the family are not residents of Jerusalem. One of them like in Jordan, in Dubai, or any other country. So they will be considered absent and the government will take their share. Even if one person in a family of 7 or 6 members, if one of them is not resident in Jerusalem, he or she, they will lose their right to or their share in this land or in this house, and the Israeli government will take over this share based on this absentee of property law. As you mentioned, what has been happening during the last 6-7 years, that you know, if you really built without a permit, you have to pay a fine. And not only that, you have to pay the cost of demolition, what we call it. You know, during the last 6-7 years, we have been witnessing what we call it self-home demolition. You know, because that they force the family to demolish their own home by themselves. Can you imagine what is the psychological impact on the people? You know, because if you don't demolish your home, according to them, which was built without a permit, because the municipality doesn't provide permits for Palestinian Arabs, you pay a fine because you violate the regulation, and you pay the cost of the demolition, the bulldozer, the police who come every day from the early morning, they siege the area, the neighborhood, they siege the house, they demolish the house, which would take like hours. So they make you pay the cost of demolition. Because if you don't demolish, then you have to pay the municipality for demolishing your own house. Can you imagine? And that's why during the last 3-4 years, the number of families who they demolished their homes have been really increased.